Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, we've been talking a lot about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin over the last number of months. You even mentioned to us off mic that you've been getting a lot of questions about these from some of the mainstream media. We're going to start here because the news that broke on Friday with China stepping in, essentially banning transactions in cryptocurrencies or Bitcoin in particular, a lot of the bears for cryptos were saying, oh, see, here's the start of government regulation and this is the biggest risk to cryptocurrencies broadly. This is a significant risk if countries broadly go after these cryptocurrencies. However, it's interesting to see the price action on the back end of that announcement. Bitcoin was just short of 45,000, immediately dropped on the back of that news down to about 41,000 and was choppy over the weekend. But right now, Bitcoin sitting a little over 43,000. So really not that big of a washout decline that we're at least seeing right now. Ed, why do you think that is? Was this story overblown? Is China not as big of a player in the cryptocurrency space as everyone says that they are? Give us your thoughts.
Well, I think the history of China in crypto and Bitcoin, it's been going on for several years. And we have to remember, you know, China in 2017, that's when they first started to come down with their crackdown, and they banned crypto exchanges. They outlawed initial coin offerings, and then the market just kind of traded range bound. But most of the mining, over 2/3, was done out of China, and people were concerned that okay, now they're in 2018, they started to curb power use by these miners, and then eventually 2019, they came after more exchanges, and then you saw the Shanghai regulator really just tackle, you know, some firms. And then now, you know, earlier this year, we had the state council, you know, they called for another crackdown on mining and trading. And now you're dealing with pretty much, you know, China saying like, we're banning crypto. And they made it, the only thing they didn't do was make it illegal to hold it. So that's the last thing that they can do. And it's going to be, that would be very hard to enforce, but it shows you that, you know, people were still big into Bitcoin. The mining efforts, yes, that has been, you know, moving to other countries, but you're starting to see that China had to, you know, they want to ensure the success of their digital yuan. This was somewhat expected, that they were going to come down a little bit even harder. But I think given the vulnerability that Bitcoin has been in, and this wait and see approach we have on the regulatory front, from at least regulatory actions from the SEC, from the Treasury and the Fed's paper on digital currencies, I think there's, you know, you have a headline like that, you're going to see Bitcoin and all the cryptocurrencies, I think sell off pretty significantly. And I think you have to remember, some people in China, they use VPNs. That's how they get around some of these rules. They are really going to have to think long and hard. Do they still want to maintain that exposure? What if, you know, somehow the authorities find out? You know, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the law in China. So I think there's some concern that you could see reduction of crypto exposure on some of those individuals, and that could lead to significant selling pressure. Because remember, as I highlighted earlier, with over 2/3 of the mining being done in China, you know, there's a lot of old, you know, money that or old in this fairly young market, but that has been heavily focused on China. So I think you're going to see some investors might just start to get a little nervous and just get rid of their positions. And that's why you've seen Bitcoin be very vulnerable here. It's now, you know, hovering above 43,000, which is probably a good sign. I think it's a constructive for the price. But yeah, this is a story that, you know, it's it's a bit, you know, China, they're doing what they want with their digital yuan. And I think, you know, there's only the only thing left for them to do is to ban holding it. And, you know, that's probably one of their last cards to play.
Well, there's no doubt that China is a huge force in the Bitcoin mining, and they've already gone after that on the energy consumption. But we seem to have most of the narratives, and they change so often in cryptos, it is hard to stay abreast of what the narrative of the day is, because at one point it was the balance sheets of companies holding cryptos in lieu of fiat cash, and then it was the rise of institutional investors. But there's a huge focus right now on regulation, and we have countries like El Salvador and Ukraine that have endorsed the Bitcoin thing as a pro, you know, Bitcoin and altcoins and Ethereum and a lot of the other coins that are available in the cryptoverse. But then China is one of the larger companies that's taken a stand against it. And as you mentioned, the Fed is going to have their digital currency paper soon. The EU is still looking at this. Many developed nations in the West are still looking at this. Do you think it's really a regulation story at this point before Bitcoin can either break out or break down? Because we need to see which nations side more with the China side and which ones side more with the El Salvador and Ukraine side? Or what do you think the main driver will be to get Bitcoin out of this range that it's been in?
I think the key takeaway, you know, you're going to have people by at the end of the year, people are going to be have a better idea on where central banks stand on what they're going to be doing. Everyone is evaluating having their own crypto. And I think you're probably going to see that, you know, I think the financial world knows that, you know, cryptocurrencies are not going away. And I think you're probably going to see there will be more restrictions, regulatory environments where you'll have more AML in place. So for people who are trading off exchanges, there's going to be, you know, tougher requirements. These exchanges are going to have more capital. They're going to have to really manage their exposure. And I think what you're probably going to have is, you know, this environment, crypto environment is going to have to deal with some difficult regulatory requirements that you're going to see, I think, several exchanges go under. And I think that in the end, you know, the long-term view is still rather upbeat. I think the institutional world has been unfazed with the developments over the last several months. I think that, you know, in the end, once the space is cleaned up, then you'll have the institutional money be ready to invest in it. So I think that, you know, barring you see a ban in the U.S., which seems very, very unlikely, the space is probably going to thrive once you see more countries become a little bit more open to transacting in Bitcoin. I think you're going to probably see a lot of EM is going to be happy to take on Bitcoin. I mean, El Salvador is a very small example. I mean, they hold, what, I think, just over 550 Bitcoins. So I think there's this belief that you're going to have more, that list is going to grow, but it's going to be small nations. I think the important thing for, I think, you know, the longer term view and more potential upside that you can see is with Bitcoin is, you know, once we get that Bitcoin ETF, I think that's going to be the green light for a lot of investors in the U.S. You know, we've had the ETFs done in Canada. We've had Europe's got an equivalent product. But once it happens in the U.S., that's going to be possibly the game changer, I think. It'll really open the door to much more of the institutional world. So there's this optimism that the space is still going to have there's a lot of money still on the sidelines that's waiting to get in. And I think that the volatility, though, I mean, we're, you know, we could bounce around between 30 and 60,000 for another year. But I still think there is a lot more longer term upside here as we kind of see exactly how the global economic recovery is. And as you start to price in which economies are going to remain in ultra accommodative mode or just highly accommodative mode. I think you're going to see that there is still this need for a lot of people to diversify away from dollars or yuans, and gold is getting some of that, but I think a lot of it is really going to Bitcoin and some of these other cryptos.
Yeah, especially the younger generation. I've mentioned that a number of times, that the younger generation does seem to like cryptos more than, let's say, gold. Now, you mentioned that ETF, and there's been a lot of news over the last about month and a half, maybe 2 months, of a lot of big names applying for the first Bitcoin ETF in the U.S. The SEC has signaled that they are looking into it, and it does sound like one is coming soon. Any forward guidance on this, Ed? When do you think we could see an ETF? And in all fairness, sometimes when we do see an ETF created for some of these new sectors, it can actually signal a top in those assets.
That's a great point. And I think in this case, given how the market has been so negative, I think a Bitcoin ETF would... If we're trading around the low 40s and a Bitcoin ETF happens, it'll be viewed as positive. If we're testing 53,000, I could see there be a spike in that faded. But depending on what other, depending on what happens with the Fed's paper, my expectations, to answer your question first about when, the earliest I think is 1 month, but I think it could drag on for more months. I think that we'll probably have the Fed's paper on central bank digital currencies before then, before we learn about the ETF. And I think that's going to be just as important, because that might outline some... That might disrupt the trade in stable coins. I think you need to be prepared for that type of volatility as well. So if the Fed's paper is somewhat constructive and more wait and see on a digital dollar, and then we get the Bitcoin ETF, then I think that would still be viewed as a positive and not necessarily a market top, as long as we're not well above 50,000.
Well, we will definitely keep our eyes on how things develop in the cryptoverse. Another market that's developing and is getting its fair share of news is really the oil and gas markets, the energy markets. As we know, the price of oil is now back up around 75 again, and that can be a pressure on, your retail consumers and what kind of dispendable income they have. It's also an input cost that affects many businesses. So it's kind of a silent tax against a lot of the growth projections, but it's also definitely a big boost for the energy sector and those companies performing in there. What is your take on this higher oil price and how it may affect the economy moving forward, Ed?
Yeah, I think right now we're in a market that's extremely tight. When you take a look at some of the trends, U.S. stockpiles have been just constantly declining to the lowest level since 2018. And now we're also starting to see there's this concern. When you look at crude oil, you also have to look at, some of the other commodities that might impact it a little bit. And natural gas has been on a tear. And I think there's this fear that you might have in Europe, if you have a cold winter, there's just not enough supply right now for the natural gas. There's going to be a scramble for alternative sources of energy, and wind and solar are not viable options. So you're going to see that it might really surprise us to get more crude demand there. And I think there's this nervousness that, you're seeing this market remain very tight. And, we're still in hurricane season. It seems like all the risks are there for us to have a potential spike at any given moment. I think you're probably going to see that the oil market is going to thrive once, we get on the other side of COVID. And if you take a look at some of the models, it seems that there is a chance, as long as we don't get a new variant, makes our these mRNA vaccines very not as effective. You could you could see cases really drop off by March. And I think the pent up demand, if that means we're going to have a very normal travel season, holiday season. That is something that we haven't had any investment into new wells. So I think you're going to see that this market is potentially, you know, poised to go much higher. And, you know, if we're, you know, clearing the $80 level on WTI, and if, you know, if we're starting to hear more calls for $90, I think Goldman might be on that one. You know, there's this fear once you get close to 100, then you're going to start to see that momentum buying. It could get ugly pretty fast for the economy if you're dealing with $100 oil. So I think oil is, I've been very, you know, I think bullish on oil. I think it's still going to be, you know, the top performing commodity, you know, for the rest of the year. It's just because you can't get around that. This market's in deficit. That's not going to change this year. Maybe next year, as we start to see OPEC Plus, you know, ramp up their production. But right now, there's nothing really going to get in the way of this being in heavily in deficit. And there's so many risks right now. So I think you're going to see a lot of investors. They're going to trade technically on oil. And as we break above key levels, they're going to anticipate more follow through buying.
Hey, oil just keeps on running higher, and kind of what you alluded to there, Ed, is that this could be maybe the one issue that people have been ignoring when it comes to the economy. Broadly higher energy costs, especially if oil spikes again, can really cause havoc, and I don't think has been considered by maybe the Fed or even other central banks or a lot of investors. So I know there's still a lot of bears out there for the oil sector, but price is telling us that we could be going higher. It's already at a 3-year high right now. Ed, great chatting with you, buddy. We have to wrap it up here, but definitely a couple topics that we can follow up on as this year progresses, because hey, there's some significant news out of cryptos and also in the oil space. Ed, thanks as always for your time. I will post a link below this interview so everyone can keep up to date on your daily market commentary, and we will chat again next week. Ed, have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.